A Jeep drives down a dirt path. Mount Carmel, New York. 1976. The Jeep with a lone driver enters a quarry. Blythe Danner, Beau Bridges. The Jeep slides in the damp brown earth. We were the Mulvaneys. As the Jeep stops, a young man runs out to greet the driver, an unshaven man wearing a knit cap and sunglasses.
What's the matter? Don't you recognize your older brother?
You look sort of different.
It's my intention.
I brought what you wanted.
So give it to me.
The younger brother leads his sibling to a barrel. The older brother pulls out something covered under a blanket.
What exactly are you going to do?
It's a rifle.
Less you know, less you're involved.
He aims the gun.
Between those, they go in this end, they come out that end, they're about that big.
Almost forgot.
He gives his older brother a handful of bullets.
You have any doubts?
No. Look, whatever you want, I'll do it. All right? If you want me to pull the trigger myself, I'll do it.
He puts his arm around his younger brother and they walk back to the Jeep. The older brother puts the gun in the Jeep as he gets inside.
I'll meet you here when it's over.
The young man watches his brother leave.
Patrick!
He runs after him.
It all happened so fast. I had become an accomplice to my brother Patrick's premeditated crime.
I love you.
I have to make an attempt to understand what happened. What brought me to take a gun from my father's cabinet? What brought Patrick, the brother I love more than God, to embark on kidnapping, grand theft, and murder? But this isn't a confession. Not at all. I've come to think of it as a family album. The kind my mother never kept. Absolute truth-telling. The kind no one's mom keeps. But if you've been a child in any family, you've been keeping such an album in memory and conjecture and yearning. It's a life's work, and it may be the great and only work of your life. We were the Mulvaneys of High Point Farm, storybook people in a storybook house. We were once the perfect dream. For a long time, you envied us. Then you pitied us. Then you thought, good, that's what they deserved. Too direct, Judd, my mother would say, wringing her hands in discomfort. But I believe in uttering the truth, even if it hurts. Particularly if it hurts.
Baby! Hey, I had a call from Marion Madsen. Do you want to know if I had any antique clocks?
I hope you told her we got a clock epidemic.
Oh, yeah, that from somebody who's notoriously late.
Tell her, Muffin, Captain Mulvaney is always on time.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, honey, sit down. Don't use too much of that syrup. It's pure maple. It's very expensive.
I don't have time to eat.
Breakfast is important meal. Have a little bit of orange.
I don't want that.
Tell me, Muffin, why do you suppose a certain football hero here hasn't done his chores for over a week?
Tell him I'm sorry, sir. I'm just a little behind.
Well, I gotta get my jeans.
Oh, you can take the bus.
Hey, you take a shower.
Don't go.
Hey, just so you know, your old man loves you, number four.
I can't
just
be late.
So you know.
Wait a second.
My brother in a letterman's jacket speeds away.
Memory blurs. That's the point. If memory didn't blur, we wouldn't have the fool's courage to do things again, again, and again that tear you apart, like labor. My mother had four children. Marianne was the miracle baby. You only get one of them once, if you're lucky. Mom said Jesus dwelled in Marianne's heart since the day she was born. Who could argue with that? She not only was beautiful, she was absolutely radiant. She and my brother Patrick were bonded forever because they shared space in the womb. Boy, were they different. Marianne was one of the most popular girls in school, but Patrick was a self-declared loner. He disdained high school sports, clubs, and competition of popularity in whatever guise. His heroes were Galileo, Newton, Charles Darwin, and Albert Einstein. You couldn't imagine any of those people caring in the least about popularity. My dad was the disowned son of a working-class family in Pittsburgh. He set out at age 18 to make something of himself. He started Mulvaney Roofing out of nothing. He owned property, had money and influence, was known and liked and respected. My mom was the rock of Gibraltar, the eternal optimist. And having four kids was just part of the challenge somehow. Like keeping an even course in a canoe on a wild, rushing river. We never let her rest. But when it came to business, Dad called Mom a hopeless amateur.
You like that one?
She sold antiques, but she only bought things she fell in love with. And naturally, things she fell in love with, she couldn't bear to sell to strangers.
Oh, that one. Go on. Gee, I'm awfully sorry. This has been requisitioned by a previous owner. I didn't tag it.
Mikey Jr., the oldest of the Mulvaney kids, and my big brother. A real leader, a force, but stubborn. We called him Mule. Since I was the youngest, there had always been a kind of alliance between us. In fact, I wanted to be just like him, a jock. But I wasn't very athletic, so I picked a sport that didn't require too much talent.
He's running.
My true name is Judson Andrew Mulvaney, Judd for short. Dad liked to hint that I'd been named after a rich, eccentric relative of his, an Irish landowner, a lapsed Catholic. But I guess that was some kind of joke. Dad hadn't any relatives at all in Ireland that he knew, nor any relatives in this country he'd acknowledge.
Show me some teeth.
We Mulvaneys were a family in which everything that happened was precious, and everything that was precious was stored in memory. And everyone had a history. That is, until the event when everything came apart for us. It was never again put back together in quite the same way.
Amen. Tell them about your dress.
Oh, well, Dad, he took me to the Yams, this really neat shop in Rochester. We had so much fun. My mom's fun too, but Daddy has better taste.
It's backless.
Yeah. Mama nearly died. She doesn't think it's appropriate, of course, but thank God Daddy always wins.
Over a goose, for God's sake, in the middle of a goose pond.
You're joking.
No, I'm not kidding. I was walking with her around the lake.
Oh, this is the summer I was a waitress at the Adirondacks, and he was this, gorgeous construction worker. All the girls were crazy about him.
Will you let me tell this to
Trey? Okay, honey, you go on. Go on.
We're walking along. There's this tremendous squawking noise, and we see a goose trapped in some fishing net, and this one yells, oh, look, that poor goose! We have to save it! And she marches straight into that dirty brown water, up to her waist, to save the damn thing. There's geese, killer swans all over the place. And I followed her in my good crepe-sole canvas shoes. That's how pretty she was. I always say, we fell in love over a goose. Anyway, the damn thing was flapping its wings like a deranged windmill. I finally get a hold of it, and Nature Girl here untangles that net just like unwrapping a gift on Christmas morning. And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, now that girl is quick, and she's strong, and she's damn pretty.
Oh, yeah, don't believe him, Trisha. I was a fuzzy-haired, gawky, homely
farm girl.
Poor Trisha comes over for dinner, and we stick her with our life story.
I loved hearing it.
It's even better than mailing time.
Isn't that right, little muffin?
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be able to travel back in time and actually relive the goose story.
Oh, don't listen to Mr. Einstein over there. None of us do.
Mike, where are you going?
Got a date. Can't be late, right?
12 sharp, number 4, remember.
Okay.
Mike leaves. Later, Judd is asleep as a cat lies on his chest. He sits up and squints as headlights shine into the house and in his face. Damn. Mike gets out. He pulls on a wheelbarrow stuck under his truck, but falls. Judd turns on a light.
Turn it off. Oh, I'm wasted. Shh, you gotta wake up, Mom and Dad. Come on, little buddy, let's piss the old man off, huh? We Mulvaneys must maintain our dignity. We are judged by different standards.
Shh.
Oh, come on, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. Think it's easy, Judd, huh? You think it's easy being Mike Mulvaney Jr.?
Yeah, it must be real hard. Big man on campus. All the pretty girls cheering for you.
Oh, God, I think I'm gonna puke.
Please don't. Dad'll have it bronzed.
The Mulvaneys are at church. Robbie, Mike's eyes are bloodshot. Judd and Patrick laugh as Mike squints in pain. Mr. Mulvaney taps Patrick on the shoulder to settle him down. Green as the Mulvaneys arrive in their station wagon.
Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could just
Yes. Oh, do I torture my family?
Yes!
Force them to eat like royalty at the country club?
Oh. Huh? Honey, it's not the food. You know that. It's just those people.
We are those people.
Not those kind of people, Will.
Oh, come on. You like Ray Pringle?
I do not.
Well, he likes you. Maybe that's why he's recommending Mulvaney Roofing for the Civic Center job.
Oh.
Mary Ann, Patrick, and Judd are at a table as their father walks around with a drink in his hand.
Hi, Dad.
Ooh, beef Wellington, excellent.
He goes to a dark-haired teen with Mike.
Hey, Zachy. Looking pretty spiffy there.
Thank you.
Mort, big game coming up.
Well, nothing we can't handle.
Michael, roof's looking good. Maybe you could recommend a plumber. You know that leak downstairs?
No problem, Ray. I'll take care of it myself.
Jack of all trades.
So who are you taking that dance anyway?
Who knows?
Zach stares at Marianne.
Jerry, how's Jeanette and the kids, Judge?
Everybody's well. Thank you, Michael.
That's what I like to hear.
How are you, Coverly?
It's Corin.
I call her Mrs. Mulvaney. May I?
Well, Corin's
here. Get away from this.
They dance and he spins around with her.
Oh, Captain! Who do you think I am?
He dips her near a red-haired woman.
Tell us your secret, Corin. Oh, this man isn't my husband. We're just trying things out.
Dr. Bethune's wife knows your name. She likes you. Everyone does.
Yeah, I don't know, Captain. Hey, then why did it take them 5 years to let us into their club?
As they dance some more, Marianne watches them and smiles. She glances over to Zach and they exchange looks. Marianne grins and looks down. Soon after, the family is playing football in the yard as Corin watches.
Come on, we gotta run around, let's go.
Get him, Daddy.
All right, come on.
Get it, come on.
Mike, Marianne, and Michael huddle together. Michael hikes the ball to his daughter.
Hut one, hut two, hut three, hike.
Okay. As Judd tries to tackle his father, Marianne throws a pass and Mike catches it. Michael hugs his daughter. Mike and Patrick run around their mother. Michael hugs Cora, then takes her coffee mug.
Let's go, guys.
Why do you just let this
happen?
How did this happen anyway?
Oh, we're just lucky, sugar.
He points to Marianne.
And that one. It's like God is trusting us with something we're probably not good enough to deserve. Oh, we Mulvaneys joined at the heart.
They kiss and smile. They kiss again.
Maybe we weren't perfect. Nothing is. But what we had was pretty damn good. A very solid foundation. No cracks. At least that we could see then.
Corin adjusts Marianne's corsage.
Stick you.
Where's the family photographer? Ranger, where are you?
It's beautiful.
Come on, come on.
My mother picked it up.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Ranger, where are you?
Judd has a camera.
Come on, you guys, let's not be late. Come on, we don't want you to be late. Right here, right in front of the fireplace. That's it.
Smile.
Now, you look like a dream, darling.
Daddy.
Show me some teeth.
Now, when are you alone, Button? Come on, Austin.
Enough now. Austin.
Come on. Come on, you look beautiful in that dress. Peaches and cream. Pick it out myself, Austin.
It's nice, Mr. Mulvaney.
You better believe it's nice.
Pride goeth before the fall.
Look at that face.
Later, students are dressed up as they go into Mount Carmen High School.
Introducing the Mount Carmen class of 75 Harvest Ball, King and Queen, seniors Brad Kessler and Lynn Murphy.
Marianne is an attendant. Harvest Ball King kisses Marianne. Are dancing. Some girls are sitting on bleachers watching the others dance.
And try, and try, and try.
Austin cuts in to dance with Marianne. Later, couples are slow dancing.
I've already got my feel picked out. It's called a podiatrist. I think feet are really fascinating. You know that one quarter of all our bones are in our feet?
One quarter? Oh! One eighth now.
Sorry.
Hey, we'll see you guys at PAX's, okay? You're gonna be there, right? Right?
As Mike leaves, Austin frowns. Zach approaches them.
Excuse me, Austin?
Do you mind if I cut in? Do I? No, sure. You having a good time tonight? You look really good at the homecoming rally. You look really good. Tonight.
He shakes his head.
You're gorgeous.
She smiles broadly as they dance closer together. Trisha smiles at the pair. Later, Marianne and Zach are sitting together. She takes a sip out of a paper cup.
Hey, I've got something here. Come on, try it. It's mild.
Zach opens a flask and pours something into her cup.
Oh, I've tasted champagne before. I like it better than beer.
You won't notice it.
She takes a drink.
It's good. Really.
Do you want to hear something? I can't get you out of my head.
Come on, Zach.
I'm serious. You don't think I can be serious, and no one does. But there's the real me. Somebody like you brings out. And then there's the other me. The jerk.
You're not a jerk.
It feels so good, you know, to be able to talk to somebody seriously. I feel so alone most of the time. And depressed.
Why? You have everything God has truly blessed you, Zachary.
Sometimes I wonder if God even exists, you know? Whether God gives a damn if we all live
or die.
Don't
ever say that. There is a God, and he does care.
Austin walks up.
Marianne? We gotta leave.
Oh.
I have to be home. My curfew.
Well, the party's not over.
Well, I'm supposed to drop you off at Trisha's.
No, I'll tell you what, Austin. It's on my way. I don't mind, really.
Well, I don't know, Zachary. I mean, Marianne?
She looks at both of them.
I can go with him, if it's okay.
Zach smiles slyly.
Well, okay. Okay.
Austin, I had a really nice time. Thank you so much.
Austin nods, then leaves.
It's past his bedtime anyway. Don't worry.
Don't be mean.
Later, Zach helps her outside and down some stairs.
Zach. Whoa. You'll be all right. Come on.
Some boys toast them as they walk by.
Hey. Good job.
Zach leans her against a car and starts to kiss her on the neck.
Oh, wait.
Why?
I don't feel good.
Don't play games with me.
I'm not playing games with you. I really don't feel so good.
He opens the car door, then grabs her by the shoulders.
Come on. You like me, Marianne, don't you?
He sits her in the car.
I like you.
He climbs into the car with her. And shuts the door. The next morning, Trisha's in bed. Marianne looks at her blood-stained gown.
Come on down to breakfast.
Not hungry.
Marianne quickly puts the gown in a garment bag.
What happened last night? You just disappeared.
Nothing. I mean, I don't really remember. I'm so tired.
I looked for you everywhere. Austin Weedman was wandering around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah, I know.
Who brought you home?
At the Mulvaney's, Corin answers the phone.
Hello.
Mom.
sorry, but can someone come pick me up?
Oh, sure, hi. Bye-bye.
Corin rings a bell outside.
Pinch! Oh, honey, will you pick up Marianne at the LaPorte? She needs a ride home. And
the morning drive to Mount Carmen and back? Thanks, Mom. That's just what I need.
Hey, it's the Pontiac. Your dad's got the pickup.
Marianne stares ahead as she waits outside for her ride. She's holding the garment bag and a suitcase sits next to her. Patrick drives up. As she opens the door, she drops the garment bag and stares at it.
I got it.
See yourself.
She picks up the suitcase and garment bag and gets into the car.
It's fine.
They drive away.
Okay, so what happened? Did Austin Weedman spill punch on a new dress and you're afraid to sell Mom because it costs $200? I got it. It's a boy-girl thing, right? Everything's about sex. It's primary law in nature.
There's nothing wrong.
Oh, come on, Marianne. You're incapable of deliberate deception. I know. You remember those chess lessons at one time?
Mitch, please don't.
I don't know why you're trying to hide it from me. I'm just going to pick it up on twin radar.
As they get close to the Mulvaney home, Patrick stops the car.
Marianne, look at me.
I just have a headache, Pinch. Just a headache.
Harvest Ball's a real bust, right?
Right.
A canary sings from its cage. Marianne sits alone at the table as others come in.
I still haven't heard about our bid for the Civic Center.
Ah, well, as the condemned man said on the scaffold, no news is good news.
Dad, Mr. Pringle said he cleaned your clock in golf.
Oh, is Homo sapiens the only species that laughs?
Give me a break. Let me tell you something.
What's the evolutionary advantage in laughing?
I can bury Ray Pringle on the golf course anytime.
Marianne is staring at the bird.
Well, he is primarily an active bird, but I don't know his personal way. He thinks he has to go around the cage.
Bread.
Whistle, will you stop jumping up every 5 minutes?
A good equilibrium in what sense?
In the sense of friendship. Pure and simple friendship with a person of Ray Pringle's quality means a hell of a lot. The winning the game. Sound business.
Feathers. Who in this family had to set the table because the person who usually does didn't?
She looks at Marianne.
I think it's cruel to keep that poor bird caged his entire life so that selfish human beings like us can be entertained by him. I think it's a sin.
But Feathers is a canary who was bred for generations for that cage. He loves that cage. He was born in it. It's a gorgeous cage, antique.
Still a cage.
She leaves.
Marianne?
In a family, what isn't spoken is what you listen for. The noise of a family drowns it out.
Marianne opens the garment bag outside near some trash cans and takes out the gown. Judd sees her through a window.
Because I was the last born of the Mulvaney children, I was usually the last to know everything, good news or bad. And probably there were lots of things I never knew at all.
She puts the gown under some garbage and returns the can's lid.
We Mulvaneys would have died for one another, but we had secrets from one another just the same. We still do.
Later, Mrs. Bethune comes out of a post office and sees Corin.
Corin, hi. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm busy.
How come you make yourself so scarce at the club? It's hard to see you. Priscilla says your daughter was really pretty at the harvest ball.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you took photographs.
Oh, yeah, lots of them.
And how is your family?
Well, last time I looked, they were fine. But, oh boy, I gotta move it.
Can I speak with you for a second? Let me tell you about your daughter.
What's the matter?
Well, maybe it's none of my business, but I saw Marianne at the 11 o'clock mass at the Catholic Church, you know, in Bayberry.
When?
Today.
Oh, no, that's impossible. She never misses a day of school. I know she went, she left this morning.
No, I saw her. And, well, I'd want to know if my daughter were, you know, skipping classes.
Hmm. Well, thanks, Lydia. That's really, I appreciate that. Bye.
The secrets. It seemed like the world was crisscrossed with them, like electromagnetic waves. Maybe even held together by them.
Corin is at the church.
And if you blunder into a secret, it's like you pushed open a door that you thought was just a wall. You can look through it, or if you're brave or reckless enough, you can step inside and take a chance that what you'll learn is worth what it costs.
She sees her daughter kneeling in a pew. As Marianne prays, Corin walks up behind her. She touches her on the shoulder.
Honey.
Marianne drops her Bible.
It's just me, sweetheart. Let's go. Let's go.
Later, they're in the station wagon. Marianne is staring straight ahead.
Boy, that was really some surprise, too. Hear from Lydia Bethune. I mean, I hardly know the woman that you'd skip classes today and were hiding away in a Catholic church of all places.
Marianne's frowning and mumbling to herself.
Did you have a bad quarrel with a friend? Did something happen at the dance? Button?
Marianne shakes her head.
Don't you feel well? Hmm? You want to see Dr. Oakley?
No, Mom.
Well, what is it, honey?
I just want to go home. I'm going to be fine.
Okay, we'll go home. Hey, I got some of that wonderful corn chicken chowder that you love so much. I can heat it up again.
A dog runs in front of the car. Marianne remembers being attacked by Zach. Corin tries to hold her panic-stricken daughter. As Marianne remembers being raped in Zach's car, Corin hugs her tightly.
His fault. I was drinking. I'm sorry, Mom. Uh-huh.
At the doctor's office.
Everything's so mixed up, I don't remember anything. I think that he ripped my dress. But I might have fell. We were in his car and he was hurting me.
Oh, dear Lord, you don't mean that he forced you?
Corin, she didn't say that.
Are you listening to her? Did you hear what she said?
I'm ready to be examined now, Dr. Oak.
Okay, dear.
Later, Corin and the doctor talk.
She's been hurt. There's evidence of forceful penetration. There are bruises and lacerations in and around the vaginal area. It appears your daughter has been raped. I'm prescribing some painkillers and something to help her sleep. She's a brave young woman. And it may be that you and Michael need to listen to her and not do anything rash.
Corin nods. At night, she's staining a chair when Michael comes in.
Hi. What the hell are you doing out here?
As she turns toward him, Michael looks at her and frowns.
There's something wrong. God, Corin, what is it?
It's Marianne, darling.
Marianne, why? Where is she?
She's all right now. She's up in her room.
What?
She's not ill. Michael, something's happened.
Who did it?
Mort Lundsbore, Zachary. Oh, honey, she's all right now. She's resting. She's been so brave.
Michael goes to Marianne's room. She's resting in her bed.
Button, I want you to come with me now. Yeah, we're going to Chautauqua Falls. We'll wake up the district attorney.
I can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Me, but I can't do that.
Oh, no. You tell them everything he did to
I
you.
I was drinking, Daddy. I don't remember everything.
No, I'll be with you.
No, I can't keep testimony against him. Daddy, no, don't cry.
He holds her hand as she leans her head back.
I'm so ashamed.
A short time later, Michael comes racing down the stairs.
Dad, what is it?
Michael goes past Patrick, who's eating ice cream out of a carton.
Michael?
What's going on?
Nothing. I don't eat out of that carton. Go in the den, both of you.
As Patrick puts the carton away, Corin picks up a phone. A deputy gets out of his car when he sees Michael drive up.
Hey, how's it going, Michael?
What the hell are you doing here?
Well, Corin called me. She told me you might be headed here. You got a problem?
Not me. It's those bastards in there who got a problem.
I'm not afraid to talk with them, officer. We can clear this up right now. Your Zachary has been disciplined.
Where is he?
We've grounded him for 6 weeks and denied him use of the car.
Where is he?
He's not here.
The hell he isn't. You little bastard, you get your ass down here!
Take it easy, Michael.
My house.
You should be arresting that punk for abuse. Assault!
Michael sees Zach coming down the stairs.
Bastard, what did you do to my daughter?
Michael tosses more to side and grabs Zach.
Michael,
no! He throws Zach into a wall. Zach lands at the bottom of the stairs with a bloody nose.
Michael, it's over.
It's all right, son. Sorry.
What did you do to my girl?
Later, the deputy's at the Mulvaney's as Judd arrives.
Down the stairs. Now, I talked to Morton Lund. If you don't file charges against the boy, then Zachary and his father won't bring charges against you. And even if you were to bring charges, you'd need Marianne's testimony, Michael.
Judd watches his parents and Marianne from outside the room. Marianne sits next to her father.
Daddy, I am so sorry. But I can't bear false witness.
Michael walks out. Corin sees Judd, shakes her head, and shuts the door.
I think we're done here.
Corin goes to her daughter. Soon after, Mike is talking to Patrick.
Do not worry, okay? I'm gonna get him. He's gonna pay for this.
How come you're so busy making yourself pretty like nothing ever happened?
What did Zachary do?
You don't need to know. Of course he needs to know. He's a member of the family.
He does not need to know.
I've got people waiting. I'm out of here.
It's a fact that the most beautiful clock can always stop ticking. Its slender black hands forever arrested on a mysterious fatal moment. No one would be able to name what had happened. Rape was a word that came not to be spoken at High Point Farm. Like cancer. Or death.
Trish and other girls get out of a car and see Marianne, Corin, and Judd.
Marianne, my God! Trish! You never called back.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Mulvaney.
How are you?
We missed you. So, what happened? We heard you were sick.
Well, I have been, but I'll be better soon. This'll help. Chocolate.
Feel better? Come on.
Trish looks back as she leaves with the others.
So the rumors flew, the whispered jokes. What chance did Marianne have against Zachary Lunt? His friends would rally around him, her word against theirs. How could she put on her cheerleading uniform or walk down those halls again?
Boys are getting ready for a basketball game. Mike is one of the Rams players. Zach walks out of a restroom and bumps into Mike.
Hey, I think it's time we talk about my sister.
And what about her? Huh? You know something I don't know?
How dare you?
Hey, let's go, Emil. Come on.
Judd is taking pictures of the game. The other team scores. The scoreboard reads home 25, guests 34.
Stay on your feet!
Yeah!
Patrick watches the game solemnly as Mike dribbles the ball down the court.
Come on!
He tosses it to Zach, who won't pass it back. Zach takes a shot, then collides with Mike on the rebound. They start fighting. The coach breaks up the fight.
You tear each other down. You tear out a whole team.
Come on, huh?
I'm just going to go have a smoke with
the guys. As Zach goes to the bench, Michael walks behind him.
You're bench.
Oh, I'm bench. Did you see what he did? I'm bench.
Mike throws a towel.
Okay, Johnny, let's get back to it now. Okay, guys, let's go. Let's play something. Let's get back to the game. Come on, guys.
As Michael smokes a cigarette, Ray reluctantly approaches him.
Michael?
Ray, I can't believe that little son of a
bitch. I've been wanting to talk to you. I don't know how to say this. Your bid on the Civic Center? Well, they went with that outfit over in Chautauqua.
Why? They came in lower than I did?
I'm your friend, Michael. All I'm gonna say, Mort Lund carries a lot of weight in this town.
Oh, Ray, that Mort Lund.
Be honest, Michael.
Young girls can drink and lose control themselves too. It's not just the boys
who
get aggressive.
Are you saying? I gotta get back to the game.
Ray!
Others in the crowd look at Michael. He blinks hard as he takes another drag of his cigarette. Later, Corin is holding Marianne.
Why won't Daddy talk to me? Why won't he even look at me?
He just needs time, you know, alone. We have to pray, Button. We have to pray for the Lord to help us through all of this. Yeah.
They kneel by Marianne's bed.
Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, turn to him the other also.
It's dinner time at the Mulvaney house.
Mr. Larson says that mathematics is the only truth. Even the laws of nature are mathematical.
No, I don't follow that at all. I understand that. I mean, what does mathematics say of life? Of the evolutionary branchings of life through millions of years. How can the laws of nature be mathematical?
I don't know. Ask Mr. Larson.
Michael stands, then leaves as Marianne watches.
Michael? Well, I was never good at mathematics. But then I was just a gawky, homely...
Everyone looks down.
Farm girl.
Later, the boys are unloading firewood.
You want me to quit the team just because that jerk's on it?
Yeah, why not?
Huh? You want me to blow a scholarship?
You know, you guys make quite a spectacle out there. Mule Mulvaney and Zachary Lund on the court. Teammates.
You know what? You're her twin, right? Bond made in the womb. Huh?
He throws firewood at him.
Why don't you do something about it?
Where are you going, Mom?
Oh, I'll be right back, honey. And if I'm not, I'll call.
Hey!
Corin arrives at the Wolf's Head Lodge.
How long has he been coming here, Holly?
Just started seeing him again a few weeks ago.
How bad is he? Sick, drunk, passed out drunk?
Got in a kind of a disagreement with a local guy. He looks worse than he is. I put him to bed in one of the rooms.
He hands her a box.
No shape to drive. You both can stay the night.
Oh, thanks. I'll take him home.
Do you hate it here that much?
She looks at Holly, then walks away. With the first aid kit open, she pours some medicine onto some cotton.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I don't know what the hell happened. One minute, I was okay. The next day...
Yeah, it's not what happened, Michael. It's what you've done.
Oh,
Now, I'll tell you what I've done. I went to the Chautauqua County District Attorney and I demanded that son of a bitch talk to me in person. Bring charges against the little bastard. I lost my temper and he threw me out.
Michael.
Not a winnable case if the victim refuses to testify. That's what he said. That punk has ruined us in this town. We're like lepers.
He sits on the bed.
God, help me. I wish to hell I could think of what else to do. My sweet girl.
She puts her arms around him.
I could kill for her. My baby girl.
Don't say such things, Michael. It's a sin to say such things.
But I'm not strong enough.
She puts her head on his back.
Corin.
What?
I can't bear the sight of her any longer. I love her too much. I wish to God I never had to lay eyes on her again. God, forgive me.
I know.
A school bus comes to a stop. Judd and Patrick get out in front of their farm.
Hey, guys! How'd the bio test go?
Good.
Oh, great.
Good.
Look, I just want to talk to you before we get up to the house. Now, everything's okay. It's just that, Marianne went on a bus up to Salamanca today.
What for?
Well, she's just going to stay with my cousin Ethel for a while, just till things calm down here, you know. She was okay about
it. Are you serious?
Yeah. She couldn't go back to school here, Pinch. It was making her sick. And Ethel's very, very nice. You know, she even let her take Muffin with her. The cat was sitting on the bus just looking out the window.
Sorry.
Patrick,
I can't
stop.
Believe
Please
this.
Don't say anything in front of your father.
How could you agree to that, Mom?
He glares at her as she fidgets uncomfortably.
It's his idea, wasn't it?
Corin shakes her head.
I hate him.
Don't say that, Patrick.
I hate him!
Don't say that! You don't hate your father!
As Patrick storms off, Judd stares at his mom.
Patrick!
Patrick runs up as his dad chops wood. Mike is helping him.
How could you do that? Why'd you send her away?
What's going on?
Well, nobody told you. That's typical. Why did you send her away?
None of your business.
But she didn't do anything wrong. What kind of father are you?
Don't you talk to me that way. You treat me with respect. And you have chores to do, Patrick.
Patrick glares at him for a long moment, then walks away. He glares at him again as he leaves.
Dad, what's going on?
Huh?
I don't have the answer for it. Why my mother sent Marianne away. Maybe she thought it would save Dad, the family, the farm. Maybe Dad was really her firstborn, her first love.
Marianne is on a bus with Muffin.
Or maybe it was like Patrick said.
Our lives are not our own, but in the possession of others, our parents.
That genetic web, the ties of blood, the oldest curse. Older than God. Am I loved? Am I wanted? Who will want me if my parents don't?
2 years later.
My genius brother Patrick set off a stink bomb during his own high school valedictory speech and escaped to Cornell on a prestigious scholarship. He would never live at High Point Farm again. To exercise the memory of Marianne, he had to exorcise himself from the memory's source. To him, the cobweb of our family had been broken. And once you see a web in such a way, it's too late. It's no longer a web.
Patrick looks through a microscope.
College wasn't in the cards for Mule Mulvaney, and that included sports. He quit after one semester and two DUIs.
You're late again. What's it to you, huh?
His life had become what you'd call complicated.
He smokes a joint.
So he moved back to Mount Carmen, went to work for my dad. But relations between father and son became strained. More than strained.
Hello?
It didn't help my dad that he didn't have to face Marianne. He still had to face himself.
No, I'm sorry he's not here.
No, I'm sure he's on his way, though.
Michael's asleep in a chair.
He seemed to have forgotten Marianne entirely. Instead, his excited focus was a small circle of men in Mount Carmen who wronged him and continued to wrong him.
Michael smokes a cigarette as he watches Ray and others playing cards. He walks up to a bar.
Well, Mr. Mulvaney, hard to see you around here anymore. Can I get you the usual?
What do you mean the usual? Just give me a draft.
Michael puts down his cigarette as the bartender hands him a glass of beer.
Hello, Ray. How's it going? Judge, how's the family? Mind if I join you, gentlemen?
Excuse me.
Oh, hey, I pay my dues, don't I? What, I smell bad? What?
Don't embarrass yourself, Michael.
No, this is strictly business. I want to talk to you about my court case. You see, my buddy Ray here and I, we have a handshake agreement.
Michael, this is not the appropriate time and
appropriate
place.
Appropriate my ass! Was I talking to you? Judge, please.
I'm sorry. It's not my habit to discuss court business in the club.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
He spills beer all over the judge as others try to restrain him. Later, deputies lead Michael out in handcuffs. Mike holds a beer as he drives with a girlfriend.
Wait, no, my dad's a screw-up, right? He's on the front page of the paper, then that damn country club kicks him out, and he happens to send him back his dues in an envelope.
No.
You know, my mom goes with the check. She tears it up.
Later, Michael paces at the hospital.
Well, the doctor says she just has a broken collarbone.
Oh, thank God. She's going to be okay. I send you over to repair some barn roofs, and you nearly end up killing the farmer's daughter.
Michael, the poor girl is in there. We've got to go talk to her.
I'm sorry. I screwed up one time.
One time? You can't even get to work on time. Another screw up, and I will break your ass.
Yes, sir.
Any questions?
No, sir.
You disappointed me, number four.
Mike rolls his eyes. Later, people board a bus. Mike, dressed in a military uniform, is with Judd and Corin.
Wish Dad were here.
Oh, God, I don't know where he is. He wanted to be here. He must have gotten stuck on the job again.
Yeah, sure he did.
He gives the driver his bag.
Thank you. I just thought he would like to see me turn my life around.
Corin hugs her oldest son.
You take care of yourself.
Mike nods. He nods again, then goes to the bus. Corin wipes her nose as a tear rolls down her cheek. She puts her arm around Judd.
Hold up the fort, buddy boy.
He salutes his brother. Corin salutes back.
Yes, sir.
She blows a kiss to Mike.
My dad never knew about the time we went to see Marianne. She hadn't come home, not even for Christmas. She dropped out of school and was living 100 miles away in some sort of co-op, a place none of us had ever seen. We only talked to her once in a while, and even then, Mom was always hovering over me, saying in her mom voice, "Keep the conversation short. This isn't a local call."
Judd and his mom walk through the co-op. Marianne enters and smiles.
Mama! Oh, Mama! Judd, look at you! Come on, I'm going to show you. I'll show you my room.
Oh, Muffin, do you remember me? Oh, he hasn't changed a bit, has he?
He let his whiskers grow out.
How is Molly O and Silky doing? Oh. Dogs in the barn, cats?
Oh, they're great.
Oh, what about Feathers?
Oh, wonderful.
What about the cows, the sheep, all the animals? How are they doing?
Oh, everybody's fine.
What about Daddy?
Oh, your father's really working hard these days.
So you like it here?
Oh, it's wonderful. We're just like a family. Did you see our greenhouses? We have beautiful orchards. We're selling bread and preserves practically all over the state. Well, that's because of Avalo.
Avalo?
He's the director. He's wonderful. And I have a roommate, Felix Marie. And she's wonderful.
Judd stares at his sister. Later, they share a meal with many others around a large table.
Yeah, when I was a young mother, mealtimes at our house were wild. We had, three high chairs at the table, or was it four, Marianne?
Oh, well, Marianne wouldn't know. She was one of the babies.
Abel,
I'd like you to meet my mother, Corin, and my brother, Judd.
Welcome.
Hello.
He holds Corin's hand for a long moment.
We are so grateful for Marianne and her tireless spirit of optimism.
Good.
Please eat.
Later.
Well, the Green Isle Co-op, it's not a formally run organization. Mm-hmm. It's like a business, except we pool our earnings. People helping each other out. From each what he or she can give to each as he or she requires.
Now, who said that? P.T. Barnum? John, are you ready to go, honey?
1 minute, Mom.
I'll get my stuff.
No, I want to help.
Judd puts a loaf of bread in a bag, then looks around cautiously.
Marianne, this is all wrong. You should be in college, not Patrick.
Come on, Patrick's the smart one.
You're smart, too.
I know myself now, baby. I'm fine. I'm not cut out for school, the competition, all that. You know what? I'm really happy here. I really am.
Judd nods and looks down. Marianne frowns and lowers her eyebrows.
Does Dad ever say anything about me? Every time I call, he's not home. Does he ever say my name?
Her lip quivers as Judd looks at her.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, we better get started. We have a long drive. Please accept this. You've been so generous to us. Please.
Marianne's family's a family of ours. Well, thanks. We can always use a donation.
Judd, honey, let's go.
1 minute.
I did want to ask you, Mrs. Mulvaney.
No, Corin.
Your daughter. I must confess, I often wonder what makes her so sad.
What?
Well, she frequently cries, and when I try to talk to her...
I'm not in the habit of discussing my daughter with strangers. Abelov, is that it?
Mrs. Mulvaney, Marianne is not a stranger to any of us.
Well, you're a stranger to me, mister. Whatever your silly made-up name is. Judd, please come on now.
Judd puts down a wrapped loaf of bread and leaves. Soon after, Marianne has her arm around her mother.
You'll stay over next time, right? You
right.
Promise?
Yep.
Bye, baby. Okay. Say hello to Dad and tell him that I'm thinking Mike, too. Tell him I'm thinking about them all the time. Okay. Give a kiss and a hug to the animals for me. Mama, when can I come home?
Soon, honey, soon.
Your father's. Everything will be all right.
She kisses her daughter, then gets into the car.
The things we didn't say, we three Mulvaneys.
Marianne watches them leave. A sign in front of their home says, for sale by owner. White smoke floats up as Judd burns some leaves. Corin shows a couple around the farm.
Well, we painted about 5 years ago, I guess. Well, things fade.
Well, everything's so run down. It's going to be a lot of work.
Oh, did I mention to you that this was a safe house for the Underground Railroad during the Civil War? Oh, I did.
Yes, I did. Yeah, and the barns?
Oh, well, the barns. The barn's in very good shape, considering. Yeah, we sold the horses, you know, at auction. It's expensive to keep horses. Just broke my heart. Well, we have debts to pay. My husband's taken out loans to pay loans, hiring lawyers to sue lawyers. We have to sell. Well, this is the sale of a lifetime. Our lifetime.
She turns to a collapsed building.
We wanted to take this down, but we haven't gotten to it yet.
A sign on a weathered truck reads Green Isle Co-op.
I was thinking of inviting you to share more responsibility with me, Diane, as associate director. It's a new post.
Oh, no, Abel, I probably messed things up.
Marianne Mulvaney, when have you ever messed up?
I have.
You're the most capable person in the co-op. You got us all organized. Everyone loves you. I mean, I know you've suffered. I can see it in your eyes.
You can?
Marianne, do you feel anything for me at all?
Yes, I do. I do. But I admire everything that you've done here.
I was thinking something else. Something more.
She frowns and lowers her head.
I'm not what you think, Abela. I have hurt people. My family especially. My mom.
You know,
my dad.
It
my
doesn't
brother.
Matter what you did or do or think you did.
She stiffens as he kisses her.
I have to go. Felix Murray is waiting for me.
He stops her.
You do feel something for me, don't you? The way you look at me.
I do. But I don't deserve you.
She leaves. Later, she has a blanket and a pet carrier as she tries to hitch a ride from passing cars.
Mom, please stop.
A pickup truck passes her. Patrick is pacing near a sign that reads Cornell University. He walks up to an approaching bus and greets Marianne as she disembarks holding Muffin the cat.
Hey, Marianne.
She lowers her eyebrows and puts her hair behind her ears as she looks at him. They hug.
Come here. After my VA, I'll get in the PhD program, maybe work with Dr. Maynard Herring on this massive project which involves the development of new antibiotics. I'm so glad to be out of Mount Carmel. Aren't you, Marianne?
Dad sent me some photos from back home. He's doing an article for a newspaper. Amy said Dad's got a new car, Lincoln Continental.
The car, I thought it was deep in debt with all those legal payments.
Well, it's secondhand, 1970. And Patrick, listen, the other night the phone was ringing and I picked it up and it was Mom. We talked for like 40 minutes and before she hung up, she said that she thinks if Dad was home, he would want to speak to me. She started crying and I was crying and it was wonderful. I think Dad's almost ready.
You know, how can you call him Dad? He's a blind, selfish man. He's cruel. I understand why you care about him. Let him go.
Why are you so angry?
Why aren't you?
She takes Muffin from Patrick.
I don't allow myself to get angry.
Marianne, I did some research on rape. And they say it's common for a rape victim to avoid mirrors and all direct confrontations with all images.
Patrick.
I know you're uncomfortable talking about Zachary Lunt. I think it's always there on your mind.
I'm cold. Okay, let's just go.
Later, Patrick is asleep with Muffin lying on his chest. Her bag packed, Marianne tiptoes to Patrick and picks up the cat. She puts an afghan on Patrick, looks at him, then turns off a lamp. He opens his eyes as she starts to leave. She looks back at him sadly, then closes the door behind her. Later, Patrick's on the phone.
Judd, is anybody else on the line?
No. No, Dad's away on business in Marcina. He's staying all night. And Mom was packing, but now she's sleeping. Why? What's wrong?
There's a lot of things wrong. Marianne's life is ruined, and Zachary Lunn is playing football on a scholarship. I need your help, Judd.
I had never heard more powerful words, and all I wanted was my brother to love me. What kind of help?
Executing justice.
Marianne is hitchhiking.
Patrick and Marianne had been brother and sister through all of their conscious lives. Each was more closely genetically related to the other than to their own parents. So when Marianne began to wander, Patrick lost his compass. Revenge consumed him. He said the Greeks knew how blood calls out for blood. He said it was inborn in our genes, the instinct for justice, the need to restore balance.
The state administers justice, but who's the state? That's just more people. I've given a lot of thought to this, Judd. I'm not acting impulsively. Always in the back of my mind, I see Marianne abused, vilified, exiled by her family, like we're some primitive tribe.
Like she's our virgin sacrifice? It's ridiculous. It's intolerable. I won't tolerate it. Hey, Judd, I'm sorry, are you still there?
I'm always here, Patrick.
I'll demand an admission of guilt from Zachary Lunt. He's a liar and a rapist, and he deserves to be punished. You bring that gun for me, won't you, with some ammunition? I can't be seen anywhere near Mount Carmel.
What are you going to do?
Hey, John, if you want out of this, you go right ahead. I can do it alone.
No. No, I'm in this. 100%. It's the story of American farms and small towns in the latter half of the 20th century. One by one, they went away. They left. And while Patrick's many months of planning were building to a fevered pitch, his advice to me was mind my own business, take care of Mom, and as for Dad, stay out of his way.
Oh, thank goodness there's a basement. Even if there isn't a tree. I don't know how people can live without trees.
Michael looks at photographs.
Oh, I guess this is Will that'll fit. This kick the bucket. Yeah. I would like to get another canary bird, you know, or a parrot. There's somebody to talk to.
How old was he?
Feathers and bird ears?
No, Mikey. In this picture.
Oh, that's just about the time that he chewed through the toaster cord. Thank Lord it wasn't plugged in, huh? That kid, the minute he got teeth, he used them.
He finds a picture of Mike in uniform.
Oh, you've grown up now.
She turns a picture of Marianne over.
Marines made a man out of him. Whistle?
Yeah?
You think he's ever coming back?
Sure. I bet that when he does, he'll want to work with you again in the business.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Oh, yes, it will if you don't push too much.
Well, there's no business.
Well, you could start one, you could start over.
I'm suck dry.
Look, Michael, I have seen you bounce back time and time again. We have together. You believe.
In what? Jesus?
In us.
My God, why don't you just say what you feel for once? I'm a failure. A loser.
Go ahead, say it.
No, Michael.
Oh, it's okay. Say it. I didn't deserve you from the beginning.
Come on, I'm not going to listen to this.
Come on, I want you to give me the truth.
Michael has her pushed up against a wall as Judd enters.
Give me the truth.
The truth. Just leave her alone.
He throws Judd on a table and slaps him hard.
You leave him alone. Judd, honey.
Oh, you make me sick. Both of you, you hear me? You make me sick. Get him out of a trap. Rat in the trap, head in the face, jingle and barbed wire!
As he storms out, Corin cradles Judd.
You just have to pray for him, that's all. Oh, pray for the
past prayer, Mom. We passed prayer a long time ago.
Judd touches his jaw as he leaves.
And just like that, he was gone, never to return. There gets to be a point when life starts going fast and faster and faster, and suddenly Michael Mulvaney was taken by surprise. His little boat was in rough, unfriendly waters. Storm winds, heavy waves spinning him out of control. The same storm that was also spinning my brother Patrick out of control.
One of Patrick's papers has a C- on it. A professor peers into a microscope as an unshaven Patrick looks on.
Patrick, I don't know what to think. You're the most promising undergraduate in the department. But I read this, and your work. It's sloppy, undisciplined, unjustified. I don't know what to do about this. I do.
Patrick takes his test papers and throws them away as he walks out. At the quarry.
So how do you know where he is?
Christmas break, I just called his mother pretending to be a friend. He's at the River Inn. Do you have any trouble getting it?
No, the key was right in the cabin.
Can I see you with it?
I came through the woods.
Patrick aims the rifle.
What exactly are you going to do?
Zach's at the River Inn with friends. Wearing dark sunglasses and a ski cap, Patrick watches Zach from the bar. Patrick stands, looks back at Zach, pays the tab, then leaves. It's dark as Zach and his friends leave the bar. Zach gets in his gray Corvette. Zach pulls down an alley. Then Patrick pulls the Jeep right in front of him. Patrick jumps out.
Get out! Please don't shoot.
Get in the Jeep!
You can have my wallet.
Shut
my
up! Get in the Jeep now!
We can go to my parents'
house. I've got another plan for you, Rapist. Get in the car.
Rapist?
You know exactly right, what
get
I'm
in,
talking
I'll get in.
About.
Right there.
As Zach gets in the driver's seat, Patrick sits beside him.
Drive!
Keep your eyes on the road. Don't look at me.
Don't shoot me.
Shut up!
Take this next turn out of town.
Tell me what this is about, please.
See that dirt road? Turn now.
Zach does as he's told. They stop at the top of a large hill.
Get out.
Get out!
Where are you taking
Listen to me when
God,
I talk?
Please.
Don't ignore me.
He shoves Zach.
Keep going! We're going down the hill! We're going!
He pushes Zach, who tumbles down the steep hill.
Oh, my arm.
Get ahead of what you're doing. You don't
oh,
look
my
at me.
Arm.
Get up.
Oh, please, Dart.
Dart, tell me. Did it hurt?
I won't do anything, stop I swear. It. Please.
Please. Walk, Lunch.
Leave me alone.
Walk with your legs. Come on.
Why are you doing this, man?
I don't know you. Please. You know me. You raped my sister.
Three of two.
Well, there have been so many. Is that it, Lunch? Ruining people's lives. You don't even deserve to live.
They go into a
please.
Swamp.
Oh, have mercy.
Keep going. Don't stumble like that. Keep
stop
going.
Me.
Don't look back at me. I'll blow your head off.
Help me.
Help me. Help yourself. Rapist. Say I'm a rapist.
I'm a rapist.
All right, say, I deserve to be punished.
I deserve to be punished.
Say, I deserve to die.
Zach looks back at him, and he shoves him forward.
Keep going!
Please,
no,
go.
Don't.
Go on, get in there. Get in the water!
Zach backs into the water.
Please, I'm sorry.
You are not sorry. You brought this all on yourself.
Please, tell me. I beg you, please. Let me live. I can't swim.
At the quarry, Judd warms his hands over a fire in a barrel. He sees headlights coming toward him. Judd's eyes are wide as he walks to the Jeep.
You okay? What happened?
I didn't even hurt him.
I'll let you die! Phil! Suffocated, Phil, is what you did to her!
Tell me!
You rapist! You murderer! You may as well have killed her!
Please, tell me!
Damn it!
Patrick aims again.
Please!
Everything's in slow motion.
Oh, please! Help me!
Patrick walks around and covers his head. He remembers Mary Ann leaving. Patrick wades into the water and holds the gun out.
Hey, Lon, take hold.
I let you live. I could have let you die, but I let you live. You remember that?
Patrick gives the gun back to Judd.
I didn't even hurt him. I can't explain it, but it doesn't matter.
Good.
Now, listen, Judd, I won't be talking to you or Mom for a while.
Why not?
I'm only traveling across the country.
What about school, Patrick?
It's not important. Thank you.
Patrick frowns as he turns to go to the Jeep.
Hey, Judd, don't worry. She's free. We're free.
Judd smiles slightly and nods, then Patrick gets into the Jeep.
I love you, Patrick.
Patrick drives away. Judd watches and smiles. Marianne walks quickly along a busy road with Muffin bundled in a blanket.
It's okay, Muffin. Yes, it's gonna be okay.
She hurries to an animal hospital.
How old is he?
His name is Muffin.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's been losing so much weight. He hasn't been eating. And then he just disappeared. I found him hiding in the woods behind the cabin where we were staying in. I know that he's over 12. Mm-hmm. But his fur is still healthy and clean, so soft. He's got clear eyes. I checked them.
Well, actually, his eyes are turning yellow.
No, sir, his eyes are golden. I'm sorry.
Please don't apologize. An animal knows when its time has come. That's probably why Muffin
is there something that you can do? Because I have money saved. I can pay for whatever you have to do.
Why don't you leave him here? Come back in a couple days. This is a cabin where you're staying.
Actually, I'm in between.
Let me see what I can do. Maybe I can prolong it. Make him a little more comfortable.
She nods.
There's a room at the back you can stay in if you like. I think Muffin would like that. Having you close.
She nods and smiles through her tears.
Maybe this was a mistake.
Oh, we've talked about this for 4 months, Marianne. How things would be changed. How things would be a little better.
You're right. You're right.
Marianne and the vet are riding in a car. They stop in front of the farm.
Look, Whit. Oh, there it is. Oh, my goodness, they got new horses. I don't see Molly O. Oh, she's beautiful, chestnut red. You're going to love her.
He puts his arm around her.
I can't do this.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's the right thing to do.
It's as if I've been gone 100 years. I just came back.
They drive to the front of the house. As they get out of the car, a woman on the porch approaches them.
Can I help you?
Yes, hi, the Mulvaneys, please.
Oh, they don't live here anymore. Look, I've got to get the phone.
They sold the house?
I think they found a place closer to Mount Carmen, and then I think they moved again. You're not dripping oil, are you? We just put down your gravel.
Whit looks back at his car as the woman leaves. In the car, Marianne frowns as they stop at the end of the drive.
They never even told me.
Maybe they didn't know where you were.
Maybe they didn't trust.
She gets out and runs to a fence.
Marianne!
She looks out over a plowed field. She lowers her head and covers her eyes. Whit walks up slowly behind her.
Marianne?
The first time Whit really hit me. I don't have a home.
Whit nods.
You have a home.
As they look at each other, she smiles.
I know that.
They embrace.
Mother said it was nature's way to scatter. And both Patrick and Marianne would be in touch with us soon. But then we moved again. The Mulvaneys were all leading what my mom called rag quilt lives.
Careful. Oh, hi, Marge.
Welcome back.
What about Dad's club? Should we sell them?
No, put them in the basement. You might win them when he comes home. Homemade sign, huh? Big letters. I just can't come up with a name.
How about Corin's Antiques?
Corin is an antique.
Inside the store.
You know, I was thinking that little room in the back upstairs, that'd be nice for Marianne and Patrick when they come home, huh?
Mom, we don't even know where they are.
A good mother would know where her children are.
Don't say that.
Well, I don't know. It just keeps running over and over and over in my mind. If I just handled things differently. Ah! Nah, never mind. This is a new start! Huh?
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
You're gonna meet a lot of your old friends through the store.
Yeah, you know, I've got a to-do list, and renewing old friendships is number 3.
Mike is at a cafe with his dad.
Son, you're looking at your father like he's some kind of dog.
No, Dad. Hell, it's just that I have a hard time sometimes. The civilian world, it's not you, really.
Off the base, you know, things seem to be coming apart. Nobody seems to know what the hell they're doing.
Why, you do. Develop?
Yes, sir, I do. A Marine fulfills his responsibility.
Which is?
His assignment.
Which is?
Whatever a superior officer tells him to do.
Oh, I'll drink to that. No. I always knew I should have been a Marine. Yeah, what it takes. Hard ass, harder head. But I got married instead. By the time I was your age, I was up to here, innit?
This is Vicky, my fiance. I told you about her. Mm-hmm.
He shows him a photograph.
Are you pretty?
No. Dad, Mom moved back to Mount
After
Carmen.
After you called, I started thinking about me and you.
Mom opened an antique store.
About
she
us.
And Judd are living upstairs.
A new company,
Dad,
Mulvaney.
I have a
son.
Career in the Marines.
Mulvaney.
Do you want to hear about Mom, your wife?
No. I'm on furlough from all that.
You know she thinks about you all the time. All these years she keeps
private,
track of you.
Son,
she prays for you.
I don't discuss my personal life with anyone.
But this is our family.
And I love my family.
Well?
My father told me to get the hell out when I was young. You're no son of mine. It's a boy's world in America, but only if you're a winner. And your mom, oh, she was so good and so strong, and she kept me from ending up in the gutter. And then look at me now, so I've ended up here anyway, haven't I? Didn't you want to leave, son? Where'd you want to go?
Leave? Go where?
Didn't you say,
He spills his drink.
Say what?
Michael smiles at the cook.
Terrific meal.
He turns to leave.
We'll be back.
Mike leaves money for the check. Soon after, Mike helps his father into a room.
Mikey, remember that white horse you kids used to have a long time ago? Beautiful animal. Belonged to one of you boys.
Hey, don't you?
Huh? You remember?
I remember the white horse.
Oh, sure you do. Handsome fella. He's a white horse.
Yeah.
White mane. Yeah. Yeah, he... What was his name? Name me some names.
There was Cracker Jack, my pony. There's Junior Jones. The Prince. No? Just Big Red. Clover.
No.
Mary Ann, she had Molly O, right?
Oh.
I remember a white horse. Dad, well, you promised me that you're going to check yourself in the clinic. Will you do that for me? Yeah.
Maybe. If you'll promise me, when I die, you cremate my body and scatter my ashes at High Point Farm. Kindest thing you can do for me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And keep the wind at your back, yeah?
As Mike nods, his father pats him gently on the face.
Because you're not going to get a second chance.
Yes, sir.
Michael playfully slaps his son's forehead, then turns over in his bed.
I guess it's no surprise I ended up working on the campus newspaper in college. I was always the observer, watching, listening, trying to find the truth, which I've learned never exists in any one form. And I guess it was no surprise when I got the news that morning.
Good heavens, can you believe it? I mean, it just collapsed on the street. Cancer's been growing in for years and years and nobody knew it.
Mom, Dad is indigent. He hasn't had any care at all.
He's been in the hospital in Rochester for a week. Nobody even had the decency to look through his things, see if he had any family.
She touches Judd's cheek.
Still his wife.
Marianne is treating a cat at the animal hospital. She looks at herself in a mirror.
Hello? One moment.
She smiles at her reflection.
Marianne? It's Mom. I'm at the Park Medical Center in Rochester. And your dad's, well, he's very ill, and he's requested to see you. Can you come?
I'll leave right away.
Hurry.
Marianne looks at Whit.
Not all these years. Now he's dying.
Come on. I'll help you get your stuff.
All Marianne ever cared about was Dad. And now he wanted to see her. So she knew what it was. What it must be. Hurry. After years of exile. Hurry.
Oh. Marianne. My God, how grown up you are. Look at you. You're so pretty, isn't she, Judd? Her hair. You must be exhausted. Oh, I'm sorry this is such a terrible surprise to your father. You're not going to recognize him. His cancer's just spread all through his liver and his brain. His
metastasized.
Metastasized, that's right. Well, go on.
Marianne walks to her father's bedside. She
She sits next to him.
Daddy, it's me, Marianne.
I don't want to. God help me.
Daddy, rest.
I'm tired.
I know you have to rest.
So tired.
Marianne looks at her mom and Judd.
I'll go find the nurses. The doctors are never available, but the nurses are so nice.
Marianne nods as Corin leaves.
He's been killing himself for years.
Judd blinks hard. Marianne stares at the floor.
Daddy, can you hear me?
He struggles to turn and look at her.
No, don't. You have to rest. You have to rest.
As Michael looks at her, his lip begins to quiver. She rubs his head.
I love you, Dad.
Judd watches them silently. Later, Corin, Judd, and Marianne are together.
Daddy recognized me, didn't he? I'm not just imagining it.
Of course he did.
I think he said my name. Mary, did you hear it?
Yeah, I called you Marianne. And before he was asking for you. You heard, right, Mom?
Oh, he didn't ask for the boys, but he asked for you. And he waited for you. He said your name.
Marianne smiles to herself. Later, Patrick and a dark-haired woman arrive on a motorcycle.
Patrick, he's here!
He was working in Berkeley with autistic children. He said they lived in a mysterious world. Maybe it was something like the mysterious world he had always lived in.
Katya, this is my brother Judd.
Oh, Judd, I've heard so much about you from Patrick.
Really? Like what?
How's it going? Don't.
Well, he said you're a good brother. The truth is, he loves you very much.
Judd stares at Patrick.
Well, it's always good to tell the truth, right? Well, welcome to the family. Come on.
So finally I knew that Patrick loved me. That what I had risked was worth it.
Patrick?
Which I still believe to this day.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Whit.
Patrick,
how are you, man?
Hey,
I'm
I want
sorry.
You to meet my wife. This is Vicky.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
How are you?
Who's this? This is Katya. She's
my navigator.
Mike. Nice to meet you. How are you?
Hi.
Mom.
She hugs him.
I didn't know you were coming.
Yeah, surprise.
My people sent over so much food. Well, you and we're going to have to take some of it home with you because there's no way we can eat all of this. People are just so good. Marianne, you know, don't you, that your father believed right up until the end that he sent you away out of love?
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, it's just a thing that happened, you know? It's just that way in families sometimes. A thing goes wrong, and then somebody tries to fix it, and years pass, and no one knows how to fix it.
What about you, Mom?
Well, it just made me feel so cold. I was to blame, too. Because I always put your father first, before all your children. I guess that was wrong, but I don't know. You know, I just loved him so much, and he was so wonderful, and he made me feel so...
I know how much you loved him. This sky was the limit for Michael Mulvaney, and he was taking you along for the ride.
Corin shakes her head.
I shouldn't have sent you away.
They hug.
I regret every day of it. But you know, honey, I knew that you would be all right because you have your faith, and I knew that would hold you in good stead and it would make you strong. But your father, you know, he would have just disintegrated. Well, he did disintegrate anyway, didn't he? I wouldn't blame you if you hated me.
I don't hate you, Mama. You know, there were times I was so lonely out there. I carried your flannel shirt around with me just so I could breathe you in. The scent of my mother. I adored you, Mama. I still adore you, Mama.
I'm sorry. I am so, so sorry.
No, Rebecca. No. Whatever has happened. No, I've arrived at the place I'm supposed to be.
She looks at her mom for a long moment. Later, they scatter Michael's ashes at the farm.
We were the Mulvaneys of High Point Farm.
Oh, I can hear him.
Storybook people in a storybook house.
Oh, this would have made your father so happy.
Yeah.
All of you together again.
We were once the perfect dream. Sometimes something happens to a family, and everyone is blown up in the air, and nobody knows where they're going to land. We all landed on our feet. The world was somehow back in balance.
Hey guys, I got a camera in the car. You want to take a picture?
It was as if we had been like this, at such ease with each other for all the years we lost. As Dad said, what doesn't break you can teach you, right?
Get together, guys. We have 10 seconds. Show me some teeth.
Judd runs to join the family for the picture. Scenes of the family playing football move in slow motion. Joined family poses for the camera.
I had to laugh. Every one of us showing teeth. There was Mike Jr. rubbing Vicky's belly. Mom holding back tears. Marianne with her Dr. West. And Patrick had that same expression on his face he had when we were boys. When we were the Mulvaneys.
Executive producers Robert M. Sertner and Frank von Zernick. Executive producers Andy Adelson and Tracy Alexander.